Greetings and welcome to another broadcast from LRBC. If you've just stumbled upon us, it's great to have you on board. And if you want to know any more details about us, you'll find us on our website, londonroad.org. But we pray this morning will be a blessing to you. And wherever you are listening to this, we pray that God will bless you. In it, we're going to start with a psalm today, and it's just a couple of verses from Psalm 100, and it says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We're going to move rapidly on today, and we're blessed to have Andy and Liz do our prayers today. Liz is our community worker, and she heads up the work at Witten Life. And Andy, her husband, is our infamous drummer at the church. So we'll hand over to them to do their bit.
Take 37.
Good morning. My name is Liz.
And my name is Andy.
As you can guess, we've been here before. but this will be the last and take that we will do today.
Well, hopefully.
We are glad that you can join with us this morning, one for our prayer time and to listen to what Ray has got to bring us. So before he comes along, let's just close our eyes and let's pray.
Let's pray.
Father God, I want to thank you that we can laugh about certain situations, especially at this time. Father, these are uncertain times and we have no idea how each day is going to pan out. But Father, we trust in you and we trust that you can lead us in the way that we know that we should be going. Father, I pray that our government, we trust in them too. And we trust them to make the right choices for the rest of the country in dealing with this pandemic as it is. Father, I pray that you'll be with our trustees as they look into ways of a safe opening for us at church. Father, we dearly miss worshipping. We dearly miss seeing each other and just having fellowship and that time where we know that the Holy Spirit can move in amongst us. And just being a family under one roof on a Sunday that we have. So Father, we pray that you'll be with those trustees too. Father, it's not an easy job. We have many questions as to why is it taking so much time, but Father, we need to get this right. We need to keep everybody safe. And we pray, Lord, that you will just be with each and every one of these trustees as they strive to do this for you. Father, we are all probably aware of people that we know who are suffering at the moment. Father, we pray that we ask that you'll be with those grieving families who have lost loved ones through illness, especially if that is COVID. Father, we know that it's difficult to say goodbye and to visit loved ones when they are so poorly. And Father, we remember those that are poorly within our own congregation, those that are especially poorly. Father, we remember Marilyn and Clive. We remember Roy. We remember Terry and Christine, Rick and Irene, and Gilly and Thora. Father, there are many more that we can add to that. And so I leave space for us all in our own homes to add the names of those closest and dearest to us. Father, we thank you that we have a Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you that we know you personally. We pray for those that are on a journey as well. We pray, Lord, that we can walk alongside each other, that we can encourage each other, support and love, and to be kind to each other. And Father, we ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Before we go, I just want to leave you with a prayer called the Breath Prayer. So, Lord God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive your love and release my insecurity. I receive your joy and release my unhappiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your patience and release my impulsiveness. I receive your kindness and release my indifferences. I receive your goodness and release my ungodliness. I receive your joy and release my unhappiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your patience and release my impulsiveness. I receive your kindness and release my indifferences. I receive your goodness and release my ungodliness. I receive your faithfulness and receive my disloyalty. I receive your gentleness and release my severity. I receive your self-control and release my self-indulgence. Amen.
Amen. So just before we move on to Ray, the Bible reading that Ray has chosen is from Romans 8, verses 31 to 39, and I'll be reading that from the New International Version. So that's Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from his love? From the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm just going to read that last line again, because neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us, that's you and me, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which means that whatever is happening at the moment, whatever's going on in the world with the COVID, with the pandemic, can separate us from the love of God. So I'm going to leave that there. And I think we're going to hand over to Ray.
We have a song.
Oh, we have a song. We have a song. I forgot we have a song. We have a song. And the song is Water You Turned Into Wine. It was actually written for this verse, or for these verses in Romans. So we will leave our technical team to play the song for you, and then Ray will come back in. So we'd like to say goodbye and hope to see you all soon.
It's good to have laughter, isn't it? I did chuckle when I saw Liz. The surprise of take 37, and it was only their second take, so it did surprise her a bit. But if you follow us on Facebook, Liz is the one who puts the jokes up every day, and you can have a chuckle on us. I'm just going to pray before we go into the sermon. Creator God, who formed us from the dust, breathe in me again, put a new song in our hearts, and grant us a new imagination to perceive fresh possibilities in your world today. Lord, may your word speak to us today, and I pray we'll be doers of the word and not just listeners. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us anew. Well, Andy read the chapters to us from, well, the verses from chapter 8 of Romans, and it'd be good if you had your Bibles, because you may want to follow as I go along. So I was out on a bike ride heading to Kessingland, and I heard God speak to me, and he said, encourage the body. And as I drove or cycled a bit further on, I heard these words, and it said, we are more than conquerors. And so for me, that was the encouragement that I needed. I'd been asked to do the sermon, and there is God supplying me with the sermon. And then I thought to myself, if you're a conqueror, how can you be more than a conqueror? But Paul, in this 8th chapter of Romans, states that we are more than conquerors. And this only comes about for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. These mighty verses that we have read should make us overflow with praise and thanksgiving. Beth Pownie, our regional minister, she says we are super conquerors. Not just super men and super women, but super conquerors. And we only know this because of God's great love for us in Christ Jesus. I was talking to Liz, who's you've just heard, and most of the times we laugh a lot. And we were talking about somebody whose name was Teresa. And I'm sorry if your name's Teresa, but Liz and I both have the same reaction. When somebody says Teresa, we always say in our minds, Teresa Green. And if somebody says to us Denise, we always say Denise Anoboli. And we had a little chuckle, but then we got onto something serious. And I said that when I read the word I in scriptures, such as Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I go into this, my brain clicks in to another thing. So when I read the I in scriptures, I always relate and I say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am loved by God. I know he cares for me. Therefore, I lack nothing. And I keep on adding to that, and I put in things like, I am chosen, I am called. And so the list becomes endless. So it takes me a long time sometimes to read the Bible, because if I hit I, my brain automatically goes to that. And the same thing happens with the end of this chapter, and it says, in Christ Jesus. And I, when I read this, I can stand before my Father God knowing that Christ has died for me and I am forgiven. And it's through God's great love that I am saved and I have all the blessings as a child of God. Having little things like this firmly embedded into your mind helps us to read and understand the Bible sometimes a bit better. So we're going to get going. There are 5 times in this message, and Paul sets questions to draw out the amazing blessing of knowing and following Christ, Jesus our Lord. So in verse 31, he says, God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who is to be condemned? Verse 35, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Questions that give us so much encouragement, that give us a reason to praise, to rejoice, and to be thankful. So Paul sets these questions for us to take stock of ourselves, to give us the desires to press on and to share with others about how awesome it is to know a risen Saviour. So the first question, God is for us, then who can be against us? I love the fact that we are created in the image of God. We are the only part of creation to be made in his likeness. For that reason alone, you can see why God is for us. But for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, the added bonus is that God comes and dwells in us. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That's Romans 8 verse 11. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that Jesus promised when he ascended to heaven. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. For the Saviour to know the Lord of Lords and to know God of Gods. And it's interesting that that the relationship that we have with God is an interesting relationship. It's an intimate relationship. It is one that we enter into when Jesus comes into our lives, because we've got God in us. So that relationship is exciting. We know that before time, God knew when we were coming. He created us in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows when we sit down, when we stand up. And that relationship helps us to know him. And in Genesis, you will find in Genesis 4 that it says, Adam knew Eve and they conceived a child. That's the intimacy of knowing God. It is that intimacy there. And we have this wonderful thing that the Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. It's interesting, we took some friends to the beach at Galston, and there was a couple there with a parrot each on their shoulders. And I went to stroke the parrot, and before I knew it, he jumped on my finger and climbed up, and there he was sitting on my shoulder. There's pictures on Facebook if you need to see it. And I turned to call to my wife, and as I turned quite quickly, I remembered the parrot was on my shoulder. And it's quite daunting to think of it. And if we were ever to think of the Holy Spirit like the dove that come down on Jesus, and we think that we have a dove on our shoulder as the Holy Spirit, each step and everything we do, we would remember that that dove is on our shoulder, and we would move carefully, do things carefully. It's no different to us in our lives to know that we have that Spirit there. So being aware of the Holy Spirit in your life is important, and developing this awareness is one of the most important aspects of our life in Christ. He is called God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Knowing him that way is essential for our growth in him. So we go back to these things and knowing that God is for us and not against us, that he has given us his Holy Spirit, so he's always with us. And of course he loves us, and he loves us so much. And John 3:16 tells us that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You believe, and God, who loves you with unconditional love, has invested in you for eternity. So God is totally for us. He loves us and has an intimate relationship with us. He never leaves us. Psalm 139, if I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And Matthew 28 says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Need I say any more? He is totally for us. Although we're not exempt from the attacks of the enemy, Paul puts the case so clear. If God is for us, who would dare be against us? And the next question was, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And we go back to the Old Testament and the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, but at the end, God supplied the ram caught in the thicket, and that was the sacrifice. But there was no way out like that for Jesus, the Lamb of God. So he had to go and come to earth and to die that we might live. This is a complete one-off sacrifice. The only way God could be united again with us, the only way we filled that void, was Jesus dying to make it possible for us to have that intimate relationship again with God. For those who believe, we have become co-heirs with Christ, adopted into God's family, not only a child of God, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You can now enter into God's throne room 24/7 and ask in Jesus' name. You can ask for all things according to his will, then he will graciously give you all things. Matthew 7:9-11 says this, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And who should bring a charge against God's elect? And the things are being stacked up now. Paul has put them in an order. God is for us. God dwells in us. God has an intimate relationship with us. He sent his son to die for us out of his great love for us. We are now children of God, a royal priesthood, part of a holy nation, chosen people, and we belong to God. So who is going to bring that charge against you? Here are some facts to think about. Philippians says this, therefore God has highly exalted Jesus. Acts 2:33. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and in that place, therefore is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. So, who can bring a charge against us? There isn't anybody. Who can condemn us? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You cannot condemn if there are no charges to be made. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Psalm 89. God is our judge and our jury. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. Romans 8:30. There is no charge against you. And the last question is, who can separate us from the love of God? And I think we know the answer. God's love, this extravagant love, this awesome love, this unfailing love, God has lavished his love on us. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Unmerited love. No one can separate us from that. We did nothing to deserve this love. God has shown us how much he loves us. And we should respond. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And we are more than conquerors, not by anything we have done. We are more than conquerors because of God's great love for us. And in Romans 8:35-36 says this, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. You could add COVID-19 to that list. But Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul was first and foremost a servant of Christ, and he lived his life to serve. Doesn't matter what this world throws at us, Christ is with us. If I am killed, to die is gain, I will be in heaven with my Lord and Saviour. And Paul finishes this chapter with a great confidence. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. In Christ Jesus, I can stand before my Father God, knowing that Christ died for me and I am forgiven. And it is through God's great love that I am saved and I have all the blessings as a child of God. Amen. Just going to say a Sabbath blessing. And if you want to find some of these prayers, quite a few of us have the 24/7 app that we use and every day. And this is the Sabbath blessing. So I just say this. May this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored and my imagination be lightened and may the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and his spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. We're going to listen to the original version of the blessing, how it was written, and the original singers. Then after this, there will be a video, the BMS appeal for the COVID-19 around the world. If you want to give, you can give direct to BMS, and the numbers will be at the end of the video, but you can also give through the church. May God bless you throughout this week.
We got together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Stephen on Thursday to just go in after the presence of God and try to pen lyric and melody. And after a couple of hours, it just felt like the presence of God just stopped everything. And we wrote a song called The Blessing. And it's straight from Scripture. And it's the heart of the Father over us as His kids. And we're going to sing it this morning, if that's okay. And this is a blessing over you and your family and your children. So just receive this morning. Just put your hands out in front of you. Turn your heart to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God Himself over you this morning.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Yeah. The world is united by an enemy. A virus that is stealing lives and spreading fear. For years to come, we will be remembered for how we responded. For staying home and protecting our communities. And also for loving our global neighbours. We will be remembered for praying, for giving, to help them respond. In Afghanistan, Nepal, Mozambique, Sri Lanka, Chad, Albania, and across the globe, for feeding the hungry, for counselling the sick, for providing protective equipment on the front lines, for helping to stop the spread. Remembered for being united, together. Remembered for standing in solidarity. The world is hurting, and we can help. BMS World Mission is responding to the coronavirus pandemic. We're helping to coordinate the Global Baptist response, and we're doing it now, in the name of Jesus. You can be a part of it. You can stand in solidarity with people around the world fighting coronavirus and feeling its effects. You can look back on this time and know that you did everything in your power to help. You can respond today.